This video is brought to you by Astapro and Liquid IV.
Before we hop into the video, just wanted to remind y'all that Greg, Koijandro, Michael Tesler, and myself will be at WonderCon this Sunday, March 31st, 2 p.m. in room 207. Come say hey and check out our second annual panel.
Aaron, do you have anything else you want to add before we jump in, before we go down under?
I just want to say that heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
It does. It does. I'm very excited. Let's hop into this.
A lot unsaid about him and his role in this movie.
Before we get into anything, leave a like on the what am I trying to say? Please leave us a rating on Apple and Spotify if you happen to be listening to the audio version of this or any version of this. Go over there and rate it. Rate it everywhere it is. And if you rate every video with a solid rating, we'll give you some sort of prize sometime. Who knows? Also, thanks to everyone who made the video possible. All right.
Oh, Lordy.
This movie. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say right now. It's fascinating because this started off from a place where, I'm aware of Crocodile Dundee from being alive and just knowing that, this is a character in pop culture.
Right, cultural osmosis.
I've seen Paul Hogan's image. But cultural osmosis and nothing else. So coming into it, you think, okay, this is a movie from the late 80s or, in my mind, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. And I got the sense that, it was going to be like a fun kind of humorous adventure movie, maybe with like a almost serial or a cartoonish quality. And that's in there, certainly. It's weird. I guess I'll split this into two movies.
It is two movies.
It really is two movies. And it's like, I loved the first movie.
Right, same. I was really into the first movie.
I loved Crocodile Dundee Part 1, where she was the fish out of water, and they're in the bush, and they're learning together and kind of trading, vibes and philosophies and challenging each other. And you're oscillating again between scenes that do match that comedic quality, that lighthearted quality, that adventurous quality that I was expecting. Then you have scenes that are more sort of reflective and show that this man is, perceptive and thoughtful kind of man of the land who has a lot of respect for nature, but who is, an active participant in the circle of life, so to speak. Just all that stuff is really interesting. And when you're in the bush, there's a lot of, whenever I say that, I just want to go Bushland Adventure, Morty. what's that animator's name? Comment below if you've made it this far. The way it would let you luxuriate in just being out there and kind of feeling almost the surprising aspects of his mindset and his sort of zen almost through the landscape, through the music, through really drinking in the majesty. And I like that the second part of the movie doesn't full on just have him reject society or something. He's game to engage with wherever he is. That's cool and interesting. Yeah. But that first part, I was so kind of dazzled and really kind of loving the grab bag of interesting tones that they mash together, because it is very straightforward in how it kind of gets to business and starts out and everything. It becomes a second movie when they go to New York. But before we get into that, I guess, some basic thoughts.
Oh, boy. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun today. John said, this is two different movies, two very different movies. Yeah. He said something early on that kind of stuck with me, that this was kind of before sunrise, the first half of this movie, it's before sunrise.
I always mix them up. Yeah. As much as I love those three movies, Before Midnight is the third one.
Yeah, Before Midnight, Before Sunset, second one. Anyway, I like the adventure of seeing these two kind of come together. We're kind of making a lot more character commentary in the first half, every time we see him in a different face, different shade of his character, his personality, we see him first with the crocodiles and the people in the bar, and then we see him with her in the jungle, the different settings or the different scenarios that they're in. And I really dug seeing that, seeing them explore their story within this this context of him kind of like guiding her and keeping her safe and whatnot. And I feel like it's, I'm really curious to see what the script writing process was like for this, because this was very much two different movies. And I feel like the first movie could have been its own movie. Like, there definitely could have been like a, oh, maybe we get stuck, or maybe we have to like stay in this jungle a little bit longer. We learn a little bit more, but there's like this internal sort of internal conflict between us and our ideologies. And but this movie kind of crams the two ideas, because when they were talking about him going to New York and like the fact that he didn't really know anything about the world, I was like, okay. I'd be curious to see where they take that in the second one. They're like, psych, we're doing it this one. We're doing a two for one, baby. And that second movie was interesting.
It's a bit of a roller coaster.
It's a bit of a roller coaster. Oh, he is still alive. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very much, I will say, I enjoyed the movie overall.
Sure. Sure.
But I did like the first half of the movie more than the second half. The second half was wild, was crazy. But then... I don't know. I'm curious. Okay, there's like, how many of these are there? My God, like four or five? There's like three. Oh, 2001 was the last one. Okay. Okay. Yeah, just seeing like the development of their relationship and like the wrench of like, oh, she actually has a man out here. And I like that he was like chill about being in the city, even though like he was unfamiliar about it. He could have easily like rejected it and like been overwhelmed and like wanted to retreat. But they're like, no, he's like kind of chill. Like, he's learning to adapt. He's learning to be a part of this environment. And I think that was something fun about it. He's like a very likable, charming dude with his fish out of water tendencies or fish out of waterness. And you know, was it a little problematic? Yeah, a little bit in like that second half.
Most of the movie is a little problematic. And then there's one and a half, I guess, just given how the second scene plays out. But yes, there's one moment that is, at this point in time especially, quite glaring. And I know that in the 80s, certainly, you know, if you had people who were transvestite or transsexual characters or anything like that, usually they would be appearing as the butt of some joke. So, like, I know like, that this is in line with the time, but it doesn't make it any less like he did just assault her. Essentially.
He totally did.
He just grabbed her crotch.
Like, Dundee would catch a charge or two if this was made today.
That was, you know, like, and that's a moment that, like, it and I know people be mad, like, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to erase a movie like this from history. It already exists, and we're all adults, or at least many of us on planet Earth are adults. Like, you know, destroying this movie isn't going to fix all the ills of society. But yeah, it is a thing where it does dampen my enthusiasm, because it is like a thread that they clearly, because they call back to it, bothered to put in. And I mean, like, it is indicative the second time of like, well, he has encountered this another time here and does the same thing, but it just comes across as some kind of like weird greed. You know, it's like, it's still problematic and it's still not good in that moment either. And like, luckily in the script, you know, the character decides to be like, oh, you know, so like, I don't know. The second scene is slightly less ugly than the first scene, which I guess you could argue is maybe some kind of slow growth toward tolerance, but I'm not going to pretend like there's really much redeemable about that particular beat. And it's a bummer because it's like really charming watching him with the other guys and like doing the handshake with the one dude in the red, like, you know, that hat and the red patent shirt, you know, and you know, he links up with the cabbie, which is at first like so charming, and then he pulls him aside and it's just like, ah, like this one moment had to exist in this movie, didn't it? Because up until then, it's also, yeah, it's like, I do genuinely kind of prefer the first half when you're, you know, in the bushlands, but like, I still enjoy the premise, and I get what's appealing, obviously, about him going to Manhattan or going to New York, you know, and interacting with the city. And I like that they do still to some degree. It makes sense that it should be paced differently when he gets there, because obviously that's how the city is by comparison. But they still maintain some level of that, like, okay, he's kind of, now he's the one who's kind of getting his bearings, and we're taking a little bit of time to let that happen. He's not just either immediately rejecting or immediately just great at everything. He finds a way to be himself and make it work with the city. And that's kind of neat. And, you know, there are some bits and gags that you would expect and some that you wouldn't. Like, I thought the whole her doing a story about him thing was going to turn into some melodrama about, like, oh, you just, you know, played with my emotions to get me to come out here to make your newspaper sell more, you know, copies or whatever. And that's never really a thing. You know, it's just kind of like, and the newspapers do it great. People love your story. You know, so, you know, like, yeah,
there's never any real conflict in the movie. It was very much just like a ride of just, and there's like smaller conflicts that he had with like people trying to step to him, but like never like a story conflict between like him and the girl. Like, the only conflict, I guess, was the fact that she was going to engage him, and he was like, oh, I don't want to be part of this. Deuces, I'm out. And then she was like, no, wait, I love you. And it was like, all right. It was very quick. It was very light to the surface. But, like, you know, I don't know if the movie was trying to be one to add that drama, to add that challenge. It just wanted to be light. Just wanted to be fun. But
it's almost like a series of sketches.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I can see that.
And yeah, not that they all have to be funny sketches, but, yeah, like, you know, a series of, you know, kind of riffs on each particular setting.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about their relationship? I know I was very vocal about how I felt about what was going down.
Yeah, the way she, I was certainly kind of sitting there taken aback, being like, what are you, what do you want here? Like, what is your vibe on this? Because, it is a fun surprise to be thrown your way and to remember, like, oh, yeah, he is there at the beginning of the movie. And then she goes out here and it seems so clear that, you know, she's taking a liking to him. And again, they challenge each other in ways that, you know, cause them both to both confront little aspects of themselves, but and maybe rise to certain occasions or grow in different ways. But also they harmonize and it's really nice. So, all that stuff really sold me. And then when she gets back, it was... That was a genuine thing. Part of me was like, maybe she did just dump him. I can't tell. I could never tell. And so in a way, I almost appreciate that, like, that could echo real life, because sometimes with certain people, you can't quite tell where you stand and what, you know, your entanglement means or is. And, you know, certainly, I don't know if they wanted to depict like a weird nuance like that. It did just seem like she's with this guy. It felt more like, here's the vibe of the 80s. It's just like she's, especially in New York, she doesn't, I don't know, seem to grasp or be kind of concerned with the idea that, yeah, like, I'm clearly with this guy and clearly, it seems like, yeah, they're not just dating. They're like in a committed long-term relationship. And I'm also getting to know this guy who I've taken a liking to, who's, you know, I've been flirting back and forth with, who I've kissed. Yeah, like, part of me was like, I guess this character just kind of doesn't perceive what could be, like, questionable about,
like,
this.
Maybe if we had some more nuance, I think me watching it, reading between the lines, I was like, okay, clearly he's this guy who's like more well off, he's like accustomed to like the high society life or whatnot, he's like, he's very privileged, and like she comes from a privileged family, so I'm
and
sure
believes
like
that's the pinnacle of what you could ever hope to achieve.
Yeah, you know, this guy has a silver spoon in his mouth, they come from this, they work in the same field, so like, okay, yeah, we have that in common. But then she goes to Down Under, and she sees like this guy is very much of the land, has more traditional protector, provider, masculine qualities, and she's like, oh, he's such a man, he makes me feel like a woman. And so then she's very attracted to that, and then like got with him. But then I would have liked to have seen her more perspective and see like more of the rifts between their relationship, between her boyfriend and him, rather than just seeing him from Dunny's perspective and just seeing he's like a pompous dick. And I feel like it just makes it easy to root for him. I don't know. The movie's not really trying to challenge your perspective in that way. But I like those sort of things. That's just the kind of movie watcher I am. I'm interested in people.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring us. So some fun facts about me. I've been seeing an ENT the past couple of months. Got a CT scan done for my allergies, and right now I'm trying to find time to get deviated septum surgery. So like many of you, I am someone who's tried pretty much every nasal spray you can think of because I have difficulty breathing through my nose, which leads to day-to-day and sleeping problems on a consistent basis. So before agreeing to this, I wanted to try them out myself because this is a serious thing I deal with. They provided me with free samples. This is my second bottle. This is without a doubt the best nasal spray I have ever used. That's not some talking point. That's my very own personal testimony. Genuinely, for me, it's fantastic and lives up to how it's advertised. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter solution available. It gets to work in just 30 minutes while other sprays take hours to kick in. It's also the only one out there that's steroid-free for 24-hour relief. Astapro has seriously changed the game for me, offering full prescription strength relief from nasal congestion, runny nose, and sneezing. The difference this makes is phenomenal. It's kind of insane how this relief through my breathing and nostrils just kicks in and I'm back in action really fast. So if you're like me, battling with nasal allergies and looking for relief, get fast-acting nasal allergy or symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go. It's faster with Astapro, bro. I saw that commercial. Astapro, it's faster, bro. That's Astepro allergy.com. Remember, use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Thank you again, Astapro, sincerely. All right, Reject Nation, so today I want to share something with you that has been a wonderful addition to my health and fitness journey that I discovered during the holidays, and that is Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier. I'm down to my very last packet, and I'm freaking out, but it's okay. I got more in the mail. Now, a lot of you have been so kind to notice how I've been working on my physical health. Thank you for all the compliments. And one thing I learned is that proper hydration is absolutely crucial, especially post-workout and pre-filming after post-workout. And my wife actually introduced me to this product, which is perfect because we not only care about quality, but a good taste and quality product. Whether it's after a sweaty workout or just after, you know, a good night out, you know what I'm saying? Efficient hydration and replenishing electrolytes is key. You just feel better and it tastes fantastic. I can't emphasize that enough. Another thing that I'm always on the lookout for too is products that have zero sugar or zero sugar added, because that's one of my main dietary restrictions throughout the week. And they of course got products that fit that description that also taste good too. So yes, thank you so much. So Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier is, in summary, is they are a non-GMO electrolyte drink that delivers hydration into your bloodstream faster and more efficient than water alone. But sometimes drinking a whole gallon is not always efficient, but in fact, it can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. I'm also big on efficiency. Plus, it's packed with a lot of essential vitamins, and we know vitamins are good for the body. It's vegan, soy-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. You can customize the water amount to your taste. Again, perfect for post-night recovery, traveling, or just having a big night out. You know what I mean? Normal. So, if you want to boost your support for the channel and boost your hydration game, go to liquidiv.com and use promo code REJECTS at checkout. That's liquidiv.com, promo code REJECTS. And remember, Liquid IV, it's not a real IV, but it sure feels like it. So stay hydrated, stay healthy, and let's keep crushing those health and fitness goals together in the year 2024.
Her character in the first half just speaks better. What we, you know, witness in the first half speaks better to the character than what we see in New York. But maybe that's also part of the, like, I guess that's part of what's interesting, is that as many things about it as I am kind of curious about or might be compelled to criticize or whatever, I'll also come up with a counterpoint of like, well, though, you know, given where the settings are, like when you're more in tune with nature and life moves a little slower, you know, like I get how, you know, you would be kind of two different minds in two very different environments, or yeah, you would see and notice things differently when you're on your turf and your comfort zone versus completely outside of that. So like there are interesting ways you can look around at it, but. Yeah, it was an interesting thing, and then she just breaks up with him like off screen, which I guess,
yeah, we did not even see that resolution.
And again, I guess because in the second part we're a little bit more in now Dundee's perspective, it's like he will wander off and she'll do some stuff, and we'll be with her in the first half, and then the second half she'll wander off and he'll do some stuff and we'll be with him instead. So it's like they do reverse the roles in a way where it makes sense to me why we didn't get a big scene of her breaking up with him or something.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because the first half of the movie definitely felt like we were in her point of view, and like it literally felt like two different movies. Because when we're in the bushlands, right? Like, yeah, we were seeing Dundee in his world through her eyes, and then once we got to New York, it was Dundee through viewing the eyes of New York. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is legitimately two different movies. But I had fun in both. But I say I enjoyed the exploring this unfamiliar terrain with the bushland part of the story.
Yeah, it's like the first half.
It was charming. I guess it was like this full of wonder.
In conclusion, I guess, yeah, it's like the first half does feel more. Yeah, and partly too because I'm much less accustomed to that kind of a landscape, so maybe there's a mystique that I'm also responding to, but I feel like there is a more interesting blend of just the way things are introduced and brought on, and you get these, again, just more moody and atmospheric little interludes and elements, and again, the way in which, like, yeah, he's like, ah, this is no place for a girl, and then she's like, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, you can't tell me what to do, though. I'm going to prove to you that I can be out here. Like, okay, well, yes, this was harder than I anticipated. But also, like, there's, yeah, there's that growth of, like, they're kind of, I got, the only reason I'm not super mad that they, like, wound up together or something is because, like, I get what's great about them when they're together.
Yeah, no, they had great chemistry.
Parts of him, yeah, and it's, like, even the parts of him in that half of the movie that are a little dated are, like, well, yeah, but clearly this guy will, you know, respond if she's like, no, but I'm game to be out here, you know, and I'm game to learn, you know, and so, yeah, I don't know. The second half feels more about we get some bits with him in the city and we sort out the love thing. And so, that's kind of what that's about. Whereas, yeah, the first half was a little bit more slice of life and a little bit more contemplative while still also being fun and wild and, you know, comedic and all sorts of other things.
I will say something that I did like that was like kind of consistent throughout, I felt, was the fact that Dundee, there's nothing malicious about him. He was just like this guy who was very in tune with a specific part of the world, but he was genuinely someone who had a good heart, I feel. But he was just a little ignorant to just the way things work.
Sure, yeah.
I definitely think he was ignorant to the way things work, coming to America and just like, you know, respecting people's spaces and
you shouldn't
parts.
Grab people.
Just
in
don't
the
grab
ever.
People's crotches.
Yeah,
just like,
you know, there's a lot of it. Yeah, that you're like, you know, given that you just live remotely out here off the land, and I love that they have that conversation too about like, hey, what about nuclear weapons? You must feel some type of way about that because that affects everything, and that would affect certainly the well-being of the land and the circle of life and that whole thing about bringing it closer and like, well, how about the Aborigines? How do you feel about their plight and their claim to the land? And him being like, well, if you look at it cosmically, we're all, you know, only here for a minute. The land's, you know, and we all just want a place to roam and be free and all that. And like, that's not a solution to a tough issue. But like, you know, yeah, there's stuff like that that does suggest like, yeah, this is a thoughtful guy who can grow and who is, you know, mostly accepting of most people.
Yeah, the first movie felt like
it's like everything but that
bonding.
you can chuck up to like, well, okay, maybe he's not as you know, ahead in his thinking in certain respects, but hey, he's been out in the wilderness. He's not ever been exposed to some of this stuff.
Yeah, the first part of the movie felt like a character bonding, challenging, learning each other experience, and the second half of the movie felt like a sitcom.
A little bit, yeah, yeah. Which is still fun, yeah.
A rom-com,
it's like,
sitcom.
I still like the sitcom version, but yeah, it's like when the sequel gets streamlined and more sort of it because that's the thing is like it does feel like a first movie would be, oh, she meets this guy in Australia, and then the setup for part two is he goes to New York,
exactly,
and then we go someplace else, you know. Like I feel like so this, yeah, I feel like they really did knock out two movies in one here, but yeah. For the most part, a very fun ride, a very fun blend of, you know, influences and like it made me think of interesting movies. I thought the filmmaking on display was nicely handled in terms of especially when, again, in Australia, how they were shooting certain things and accentuating points of view and the you know, just the character of the place. You know, it's like there's a lot of filmmaking here that I wasn't necessarily expecting. And this does, again, seem like a big, somewhat auteurish project for Paul Hogan, which
he made one in 2020. Is he still playing Crocodile Dundee?
I feel like that was like a Super Bowl gag or something like that.
No, it's a movie.
Maybe we can. I want to do a little bit of trivia before we get out here.
Okay.
If we ever come back for more Dundee, we'll see what that one's about. But apparently, this is based on, I guess, the true life exploits of a guy called Rod Ansel, who was a cattle grazier and
he died.
A buffalo hunter.
He was 44.
Yeah. So yeah, he lived out in the remote country in the Northern Territory, and and had many a survival story, and I guess served as the inspiration with this, and was killed in a shootout by policemen.
What?
Wow.
Holy crap.
Wow. Oh my God. We're gonna have to deep dive on that later on if somebody in the comments wants to break it down, into something digestible. You know, I'll take a look out for it.
Yeah.
The Sydney Harbor Bridge is shown in the beginning of the movie from the hotel while Sue is on the phone in New York. Paul Hogan helped paint this bridge before he started his life as an actor and was said to have kept his coworkers laughing a good bit of the time. It's crazy. Wow. Apparently, Paul Hogan also walked around saying g'day to New Yorkers during his first trip to Manhattan.
Huh.
Second biggest box office hit of 1986. And wow. For a while, I am told it was by Wikipedia that it was the highest grossing film of all time in Australia.
That's
so absolutely. I mean, you know, he's got to be a national treasure.
Of course.
There were steel, rubber, and aluminum versions of the Bowie knife on set. Hogan kept one of the steel knives after the movie and promised never to sell it. I hope he hasn't.
That's right.
Yeah. And David Gulpilli, Nev, who played Nev, choreographed the traditional Aboriginal dance shown in the movie. He's one of the most famous and acclaimed tribal dancers of all time in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Oh, my God. There are hella facts on this. But, yeah, those are some of the good ones. He had of course, Paul Hogan had no idea this was going to be an international success.
Mm-hmm.
Cast and crew slept in huts in a nearby miners' camp while shooting in the outback. It's crazy. It does feel like, especially in that part of the movie, that they really immersed themselves in that. So
totally.
Anyway, thank you for tuning in, guys. Leave us any other interesting facts and feelings. Imagine people have a lot of feelings about Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a fascinating video to put together. Anyway, you got anything else to tell the people before we boogie?
Oi. See you down under, mates.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. That's a knife for today.